celebrate. Come on now.
Celebrate good times, come on.
Let's celebrate. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright, baby. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright.
Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right. Welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves. Sadly, alone in the dugout today as Brian Svensson visits the doctor. Thankfully, not Dr. Tommy John Andrews and not needing any surgery. I called him Tommy John Andrews, but it's Dr. James Andrews. He just does all the Tommy John surgeries. But nothing untowards with Brian. We will hopefully get a call from the bullpen from Chris Suk in a couple minutes. He a little delayed, but hoping to join us. Kick things off with Cool and the Gang celebration, though, because I've kept relatively tight-lipped about this and not gotten ahead of myself. But finally, after 9 years, the Minnesota Twins take the AL Central title away from Cleveland and clinched earlier this week, and then proceeded to make a different kind of history, following up with a game yesterday against the Tigers in which they hit their 300th and 301st home run of the season as a team, shattering last year's record by the Yankees by about 34 homers. Of course, the Yankees hot on their tail with 299 and two other teams, including the Dodgers, all breaking last year's mark set by the Yankees. So if you question about the juicing of the ball and Rob Manfred's intentions when it comes to the fact that MLB owns Rawlings, this seems like a pretty solid clue. And if you listen to the Joe Posnanski podcast with Michael Schur, they've been tracking all year the number of batters who have a certain level of home runs. And nearly any level from about like 10 through 30, the mark, the historic mark, has either been met or exceeded. And those marks have either been set in the last couple years or set like 20 years ago in the suspiciously juiced juice era. Not the juiced ball, but the juiced era. And so I just wanted to start things off with Cool and the Gang in celebration because I am very pleased for my team, the Minnesota Twins. But I'm also pleased with the what's shaking up to be a very exciting final weekend of baseball in the major leagues as really things kind of get down to the wire for the AL and NL wild cards. And obviously the resurgent Milwaukee Brewers, who lost MVP candidate Christian Yelich, have been on a tear since then. They have won 18 of their last 20 ball games. They've clinched a postseason spot. They clinched an NL spot. But they are in a battle for the NL Central with the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, the Cubs certainly were in the running leading up to last week's show. We were talking about the fact that they played the Cardinals in two separate series over the course of the final week and a half. But then the Cubs, in a tailspin, out of the playoff race. But they can play spoiler as they finish out the season playing the Cardinals, while the Brewers are playing the Rockies at Coors Field. So this could result in a tie, depending on how things shake out. And then they would play a tiebreaker, game 163. Of course, the Cardinals have a 10-9 head-to-head record against the Brewers. So they would host. That would be next Monday in St. Louis if they need to. And then that would decide who then has to play in the wild card game on the Tuesday. So certainly you want to get the NL Central title and avoid that wild card game. Now, there is a way for this to shake out that the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Nationals could all be tied for the same record at the end of this weekend. So in that case, the loser of the tiebreaker between the Cardinals and Brewers would host the Nats in the wild card game. And since both NL Central teams hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Nationals, and neither would be penalized if their record suffered a loss in game 163, since that's kind of like an asterisk game and not a legit part of the season record. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. But the other is, of course, the AL wildcard race, as the A's, the Rays, and Cleveland are in a race for the final two spots in the playoffs. So Oakland holds a one-game lead over the Rays for the top spot. They play out in Seattle for the final weekend. Tampa plays Toronto, where Brian's Blue Jays may have a chance to play spoiler. And Cleveland, two games behind Tampa Bay, has the toughest slate since they finish up with the Nationals. Now, the Nationals obviously have already won the NL East and have an assured spot in the playoffs. But as I mentioned with the NL Central and the wild card race, there is a chance that with the tied record over the between the Cards, the Brewers, and the Nats, that something might shake out. So they have a spot, but things could change. Actually, sorry, I said that the Nationals have the NL East, but obviously that is not the case. They have the NL Wild Card, one of the two spots assured. So this weekend, obviously, and this is both of these wild card races are really coming down to the wire. I mean, you'd think with 162 games, things would be much clearer as far as a picture comes in these last three games. But the Cleveland has done themselves no great service by losing multiple games to the White Sox. As our friend and colleague Jared Mikidiak pointed out earlier this week, though, White Sox always play Cleveland particularly tough, even when they have been an historically bad team or have been tanking. They still manage to play spoiler on a recurrent basis against them. Now, they did lose 8-0 earlier this week to put them two games back of Tampa with three to play. So their elimination number is at 2. And their playoff odds with that, this is according to Mandy Bell of MLB.com, dropped to 3.2%. Needless to say, that's a drastic drop in percentage, especially when you look back at, you know, where they were at the beginning of September and their possibility of making the playoffs. But, you know, stranger things have happened. And Cleveland, as I said, enters this weekend against the Nationals, who, you know, don't necessarily have to play their best. They might have their eye focused next on the playoffs and ahead of where things are at as the season closes out. I want to tip my cap to King Felix Hernandez, who had his last start under contract for the Seattle Mariners last night. This is a 15-year run he's only ever been with that one franchise. And He enters the offseason with no contract with the club for next year, and very likely both he and the club plan to move on. A really touching scene as his manager came out last night and took the ball from him late in the game. Unfortunately, you know, someone whose career was really stellar and seemed Cooperstown bound earlier and then kind of tailed off because of injuries and loss of velocity over the past several years. You know, this is someone who in this injury plague season, he was 1-8 with a 6.4 ERA in 15 starts. And going back to last year, his stats are 1-16 with a 6.3 ERA over 26 outings since July of last year around the All-Star break of 2018. After the game, Hernandez quoted as saying he's hoping to find a job. He's not retiring. I don't know what's happening next year or what they're going to do, but we'll see. He is, of course, fan favorite in Seattle. As I said, he's played his entire career there over a decade and a half. And the King's Court, the outfield section, gave him a huge send-off last night. And if you're on any MLB Twitter accounts, you would have seen some clips of Hernandez standing wearing one of the King's Court shirts and posing for photos in front of that crowd out in the outfield. So a tip of the cap and a little bit of pouring one out for King Felix Hernandez. We are going to take a quick break because the phone is ringing and I hope it's the bullpen.
On the heels of the release of their critically acclaimed third album, Morbid Stuff, Toronto's Pup make their way back to Winnipeg to play the Garrick Center on October 14th with phenomenal openers Charlie Bliss in tow. With a live show that's always been unrelentingly energetic, full of catchy, cathartic punk anthems, Pup's new record takes this dichotomy of fun, emotional wreckage and teeters between gleeful chaos and bleak oblivion, wielding some of the best choruses the band has ever written. Tickets for Pup with special guest Charlie Bliss are on sale now for only $27, available through eventbrite.ca. Be sure to get yours today. Don't miss Pup at the Garrick Center on October 14th, proudly presented by MRG Concerts and UMFM 101.5.
Back here on the Bench Jockeys, and I gotta say, this is one of those circumstances where the opener is just as exciting as the headliner for a show. Charlie Bliss, their album Young Enough on Barsuk is a great one. Joining us,
hey,
on the bullpen phone.
Here, right off, I'm jumping in right away. Brian, you made me excited. I want to go to that concert now.
Brian does a good read, and especially when
that's
it comes to
a real good one.
He loves Pup, the band that he's reading for on that ad.
I talked about this band in the back in the day. They've been around for a while. Am I correct about this?
Yeah, this is like I think the third record in for them. Obviously,
really
the one that's gotten
really
the most
good, right?
traction is Morbid Stuff because it was Polaris nominated. But yeah, no, they've played the Goodwill in a couple other spots over the years. And yeah, no, I mean,
people should check it out.
People should definitely check it out. And like I said, show up early enough to catch Charlie Bliss as the opener. So I've already tipped a cap and poured one out for King Felix, who ostensibly had his last start in Seattle. And I, of course, celebrated the fact that the Twins took the AL Central from Cleveland for the first time in since 2010, and setting up the weekend because, of course, the wild card races and the NL Central still up in the air. Is there anything you're looking at this final weekend that you're particularly excited for, Chris?
I will say this. I don't know if you know this, Michael, but the Twins are at 99. They get to 100 wins, only the second time in franchise history to get to that number. And the last time was, or the only time, was 1965.
That's quite a while ago.
And they made it to the World Series that year. They did not win, but that maybe is a sense for it. Something I read just this week, I did not know this, but Adam Wainwright is scheduled to pitch tomorrow, and it could be a clinching game for the Central, for the Cards. And if he wins that, he will be 6-0 and only the third pitcher to go 6-0 in September. So that's something I'm looking forward to. And my brother brought this up today. I did not remember this, so it was between me and him, so I didn't put it on air. So you're going to say I'm wrong about this, but he said you were right about the Cardinals. I don't think I had them to win the World Series way back in April, but I did say they would make the playoffs, and that's not the boldest prediction there, but I think in that division, that's been a great fight throughout, and it is kind of where they didn't make the playoffs last year that they've already made, and they might win the division. It was a great battle, but it's a phenomenal that the Brewers have now made it interesting to still fight for division, not just a wild card.
18 out of their last 20 ball games.
That's a phenomenal
on the
run
heels of losing Christian Yelich. It is phenomenal, like on multiple counts. You're right about the Cardinals, though. I mean, most people pegged, obviously, you know, with a healthy squad, the Brewers with Christian Yelich, MVP candidate. A lot of people like them, and of course, a lot of people like the Cubs. I think people would have given the Cards third place in the NL Central to start the season. But this is a team, and I mentioned another podcast called the Poznanski Cast, that where Joe Poznanski, the sports writer for The Athletic, was talking about, you know, this is a classic Cardinals thing where they do stuff kind of like quietly. Like, they get the off-season move that isn't the splashy Machado Harper. They're never talked about in those kind of things. But they get Goldschmidt, and they get Ozuna. They get, you know, two, like, world-class all-stars, like, probably $5, $6 million cheaper than anyone else pays for their players. They get Andrew Miller in a trade. You know, they get, like, resurgent performances, and they find a guy who pitches, like, 108 on the regular. And they do this, like, almost, like, small-market, quiet, below the surface, under the radar, but kind of like, honestly, like they're the equivalent of the San Antonio Spurs.
That's a very good analogy. I mean, they always talk about, but this is true, kind of the Cardinals way, is that they sort of is that Midwest, definitely under the radar, but they're always looking to compete. And one of the things that I know last year that they just were, you know, was disastrous they didn't make, is that they're kind of like Yankees a bit, is that their expectation is always high to make the playoffs, make a push for the World Series. So great moves that they did, they all panned out sort of this year, and they're still fighting for a division title there. But it's fascinating. It's good that there's still something there, not as much as maybe other years, but there's still a lot to play for this weekend to watch.
Yeah. Meanwhile, another thing to watch for, Pete Alonso is 51 homers. The rookie record, of course, set just 2 years ago by Aaron Judge. I was talking about all those, like, four teams who've surpassed last year's Yankees team home run mark.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, if we have any just dismissive opinions about Rob Manfred and his contention that the MLB owning Rawlings hasn't had an impact on the ball, I feel like those four teams fly in the face of that.
They were saying something. I think there's like 13 teams might be setting franchise records for most home runs in a season.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Crazy, I saw that. I think that was in an ESPN article yesterday about when the Twins eclipsed 300.
That's right.
There was like a brief blurb at the bottom of that article that mentioned just how many other teams are about to set franchise records. Oh, man. Unfortunately, I don't have it at hand.
And I read this. This is interesting because so now the Mets have nothing to play for. They're just running out the string here. That they might, if they're smart, they might put Alonso hitting the first or second to give him maybe an extra at bat or two this weekend to try and get the record, right? So, hey, at this point here, you know what? It's phenomenal, right? 51. No one, I don't care. In your wildest dreams, you're thinking Pete Alonso is going to hit 51. But, I mean, to 50 is still a magical number, I think, for home runs. And if you're doing that in your rookie year, it's, phenomenal. I mean, it should be the rookie of the year. I don't expect anything outside. Well, I mean, it'd be a good, interesting there, but yeah, that's something to definitely look forward to there. And I would say is also the run to the bottom here. We're going to come a little short this year. It's only going to be four teams with 100 losses this year. The Blue Jays, for Brian's sake, they want a little bit at the end, so they won't be one of those 100 teams. But pretty epic on the back end. We could have as many as five teams. If the Braves sweep this weekend and Minnesota gets a win, we could have up to five teams win 100 games this year.
Yeah, it's instead of like a bell curve in terms of distribution, it's more like a funnel where it's a tapered like hourglass, right? Like where there's a high thing at the top and then it curves into the middle and then like a big thing at the bottom. We've got like a weird like heavy bottom end and top end, right? You know, obviously Baltimore was expected to be really the worst. I mean, but Detroit somehow found a way and has a, what I guess a 5-game lead in terms of being worse.
They've had an epic. They've done their you know, their fan base proud by winning that to the bottom this time. I remember one thing for this weekend to watch out for is it's the last weekend to tip the hat to Bruce Bochy. Last weekend as manager with the San Fran, and I believe I read something that could be Madison Bumgarner's last start with the Giants. He's a free agent after this year. So a couple there. Bochy just hit 2,000 wins for manager, which is a very rarefied air there. So a great career. He managed 3 World Series titles, will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, there was, I think maybe about like 3 weeks ago, there was a thing about his record and how many years he had been coaching, and it was like it was identical at that point. Like it was like 1996 and something or other, like, and they were like, he should retire like right now just because it's like the years in which he yeah, so it was like 1996 and 2019 was his record or something.
Oh my goodness,
it was pretty wild. I mean, obviously he's not going to retire until the end of the season, but it would have been kind of hilarious.
I think he wanted to get to 2001.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice number, 1996, number. But at the same time, just these are those like weird numbers that come up in baseball every now and then.
It's the beauty of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the beauty of it. I could not find, unfortunately, the details on the team home runs. I can't find that that piece from the MLB ESPN from yesterday. However, in the upside, I did find a pretty weird and interesting stat, and that is former Tiger traded this season to the Cubs, Nicholas Castellanos, who has been on fire since he was traded. I mean, he was really like the only bright spot for the Tigers in the first half of the season. He's traded at the All-Star break. He is 2 doubles away from making 60 on the season.
That is correct.
And he would be the first, if he ties at 59, he would tie Todd Helton's mark set in 2000. The last one to get to that level. And no one has had as many doubles as 60 since 1936. And that was Joe Medwick and Charlie Gehringer, who both eclipsed 60 in 1936. So Castellanos, that's something to look forward to this weekend. Of course, obviously the Cubs playing the Cardinals in the series to close out the season. So as you mentioned, Adam Wainwright.
Too much. The Cubs just did the Cubs. You know, they just went in the tank the last week here. But, I mean, there's still something to play for the Cardinals and there. And we still might have a 163, right? There's opportunities here. I know, Jared, listening to Cleveland still has an outside shot to maybe make a tie there. So you could have that. And you could have so there could be a 163, which would be amazing. I always love an extra bonus baseball. It would be fantastic. And the best thing about this, Michael, is next week at this time, we will be talking about the
playoffs,
the postseason, and the playoffs would be well underway as the wild card has already been will happen, and the divisional playoffs will be starting that weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Cubs, obviously, out of the postseason, but have a chance to play spoiler. And I would say, historically, the enmity between St. Louis and Chicago is greater than any between Chicago and Milwaukee. So I have to imagine it would appeal to them to play spoiler and essentially hand the NL Central over to the Brewers instead of the Cards.
And, you know, this could be Joe Maddon's last 3 days as being manager of the Cubs, as widely speculated, because his contract is up after this season, and we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah,
they want to maybe go out on a good sign.
Interesting piece on The Ringer yesterday, actually, about how the World Series win by the Cubs was supposed to kind of set off a really kind of, like, historic run for this franchise, and it instead was kind of the high water mark, and things have gotten worse and worse each season subsequent. If you get a chance, I think it was Ben Lindbergh wrote it on theringer.com. So I recommend
that's why you
got to
win them when you got a chance.
Absolutely. Flags fly forever. And this is it for the Bench Jockeys for today, because we got to hand things over to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now. But it's one last weekend of regular season. So what are we going to do?
We're going to play.